Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Isn't She Powerful podcast. My name is Laura B. I am your host, and I'm very excited that you guys are here today because we are going to be talking about healing your relationship with food and how to know if you even need to heal your relationship with food. So you may hear that phrase a lot, having a broken relationship with food or healing your relationship with food, or you may hear some of those words and that terminology frequently. And I want to dig in today, how do you even know if you have a relationship that needs to be healed with food and some things that you can begin doing? Some tangible action steps that you can begin taking to start seeing a shift in how you view food and how you treat food and how it causes you to navigate situations and relationships and life in general. So we're going to be digging into that today. I'm really excited because this is an area that many of my clients seem to find a lot of growth in through working with me one-on-one, through Healthy Handled even. I just before opening this got an email from someone who is recently coming out of Healthy Handled. And she was talking about how she no longer feels guilty for eating certain foods and that she's feeling a lot more in control of herself around foods. And that all came from $9 a week, guys. Like, and it really can be very simple when we allow it to be. And so I'm going to be sharing with you just some really simple things that you can be doing to begin shifting that mindset and begin creating some freedom around food. So let's go on. Let's dig into how to know if you have a broken relationship with food and some things you can do to begin healing that relationship. Welcome to the Isn't She Powerful podcast. I'm your host, Laura B., health coach, educator, and founder of the Be Healthy Lifestyle. I'm here to bring you all of the health education and motivation so that you can sign off each week feeling equipped and empowered to tackle all of your health goals. Come along with me as I teach you the basics of healthy living so that you can have everyone in your life saying, "Isn't she powerful?" Things that you may be doing and some thoughts that you may be having that are signs that you may have a broken relationship with food. One is feeling guilty after eating certain foods, any food. If you feel guilty after eating, then that is a really big sign that you have a broken relationship with food, and specifically probably with a certain type of food. So maybe you feel really guilty after eating something sugary. Maybe you feel really guilty after eating carbs. Whatever it is, if you feel very guilty after eating those foods, then that is a really big sign. That's you and your subconscious brain telling you something is not right about the way that you view this food. And I was chatting with one of my one-on-one clients recently about a session that I personally had where I was being coached. And my coach said, if you're feeling guilty about something, it means that you're trying to change the past. And if you're worrying about something, it means that you're trying to change the future. And neither of those things are something we can do. We can't go back and we can't change the food that we put into our body previously. We can't change what we're going to do or what's going to happen 2 months from now in the future at all. None of that can be changed. The only thing that we can control and that we can change is what happens in this present moment right now. So allowing yourself to release those feelings of guilt around certain foods, and the reason that you have that food guilt is not because of the food itself. It's because of what you fear that food is going to do to you. It's going to cause you to gain weight. It's going to cause you to be bloated. It's going to cause, you know, somebody to judge you or think certain things about you. It's going to cause you to look bad in a bathing suit this summer. Whatever it is, it's causing you to have that guilt because of your worrying about the future. So you're trying to change the past and the future all at once. You can't do either of those things. So take a moment and remind yourself, I ate that food and that's okay. You know, I ate those cookies after lunch, whatever, it's fine. That's in the past. I get to make a new decision at the next opportunity. And these are things that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. I have three things that you can begin doing to heal your relationship with food, but reminding yourself, I made a decision. That decision is what it is. I can't change that decision. So I'm going to change the decision that I make at the next opportunity. I can't change the fact that I ate those cookies. I can't change the fact that I ate potato chips or whatever it is, but I can change what I eat at my next meal. And that is what I will do. I will control what I can control and I will let the rest flow. That's a mantra that I've picked up. Control what you can control and let the rest flow. I can't control what happened in the past. I can't control what happens in the future. I can control the decisions that I am making currently. Another sign that you may have a broken relationship with food is if you're constantly battling with yourself to not eat certain things. So if you're like, no, I had bread yesterday, I can't have bread again today. Or if you are constantly, you feel like there's that inner pull between you wanting to eat these foods that taste really good, but you're reminding yourself that those foods are actually really bad for you. And there's that constant pull and battle internally in your brain of like these pieces of you fighting against each other. You want to have this thing, but it's going to be bad for you. It's going to make you look this way, but it tastes really good in the moment. And so you want to have it in the moment, but you don't want to feel guilty about it. And you don't want to have all the things that happen in the future because you eat this thing. Taking a moment to stop yourself in that spiral of thoughts, in that battle, and ask yourself, what decision can I make right now that will support me in this moment? What decision can I make right now that will align with the goals that I am trying to get to? Is me eating this piece of cake gonna, give me what I need in this moment? Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes eating that piece of cake will connect you to a memory or make you feel really loved and held in that moment. And that is fine. That is needed. That is completely okay. Allowing yourself to have every food, remembering that all foods fit in a healthy, well-balanced lifestyle, is absolutely one of the key things that is going to get you to where you want to go. I had a client recently text me and she sent me a picture of her lunch and she was like, hey, I was really wanting Cheez-Its today, but instead of just eating the entire bag of Cheez-Its, I decided to pair those with my lunch. And so she sent me a picture. She had a wrap that had protein and a bunch of colorful veggies and fiber in there. And it looked like a beautiful lunch. And there were Cheez-Its on the side. And so she was reminding me and herself, and I'm reminding all of you who are listening, that Cheez-Its can fit into a healthy, well-balanced diet when you pair them with all of these other things. It's whenever what causes our relationship to be broken whenever it comes to food is whenever we tell ourselves that we can't have certain things and that we are bad because we eat certain things. And that's another thing that I have here, that you are moralizing food. And because you are moralizing the food, you in turn moralize yourself. So you are telling yourself that this food is bad. And if you eat that food, then you are also bad. Or this food is good. And if you eat this food, then you are good. And so many times, and I want you to just like think back right now, and you're probably going to smile when I say this. How many times have you said, I was really bad today? Or I was really good today. How many times have you said that and then followed it up with all the things that you ate that were bad or all of the things that you ate that were good that day, right? Like we moralize ourselves and we consider ourselves good or bad because of the foods that we ate. And I've said this so many times before, but there are bad people in this world. There are people who, do really terrible things. They hurt other people. They, just really terrible acts, right? There are bad people in this world. They are not bad because they ate Cheez-Its. They are not bad because they ate chips. They are not bad because the food that they ate in general, it doesn't matter what they ate. None of that is what makes them bad people. And there are really great people in this world. There are really amazing human beings in this world. And guess what? They are not good people because of the food that they ate. We are not who we are. Our morality and our moral compass does not depend on the foods that we put into our body or the ones that we are strong enough to say no to. And that's another thing. If you feel like I have no willpower, or I was really strong today. If you feel like you have to be strong in order to say yes or no to certain foods, or if you feel like, you're relying on this fictional willpower to help you stay on track with your health goals, then that is going to lead you to having a really unhealthy relationship with food. And so if you feel like you need to start over after, you know, you make one decision, you feel like you constantly need to start over. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, I ate 3 Almond Joys after school or after work today. I guess that means that I need to start over again tomorrow. Today's just a wash. I'll start over again tomorrow. Or, you know, it's Thursday by now. What's the point in starting now? Might as well start again next week. Or, gosh, it's the 24th. Why don't I just wait till next month to start? When we do that, if you do that, then you have a relationship with food and with health in general that needs to be healed. And a great way to do that is to remind yourself, like I said previously, every opportunity is a chance to make a choice that aligns with your health goals. And it doesn't matter what your previous decision was. It doesn't matter if at lunch you made a quote-unquote bad choice. You can make a great choice at dinner. Right? Like, we think that we need to wait until the next day to start over. We think that we need to, or wait until the next week or the next month or whatever. We need a turning of a page to start over. My challenge to you is to never start over again. Never start over again. You start once and you're just continuing for the rest of your life. It's just a continuation. I had a conversation, and I may have mentioned it on the podcast before, so I apologize if you've heard this story, but I love this one so much. One of my clients came to me one day, and she said, I feel like I just need like a fresh start. I need to restart and just, you know, do everything all over again. And I said, well, unfortunately, you can't do it all over again. That time has passed, and you've done all of these things in the future. There is no restarting. It's not like you get to, you know, reset your computer and it just kind of forgets that everything exists, right? Like, you can't, and I don't know why Harry Potter references have come up for me like 2 times in the past couple of days, but you can't perform the little charm that makes you just forget all of your memories and, you know, start over completely. It doesn't work that way. All of this is just a continuation. Every day, every moment, every choice that you make is a continuation. And you get to make a new choice every single time. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, you start over every single day. And what I told her is, there's no more restarting. I want you to focus on refreshing. Because think about, you log onto your computer and the page is frozen. You're in the middle of a page or you're in the middle of an assignment. You don't want to X out of everything, go back to the beginning and have to start all over again. You can just press the little arrow at the top of the screen. You can refresh. It'll pop you right back where you were before, but everything will be working again. And that is what I want you to get into your mind. That's the mindset I want you to approach health with, is to no longer feel like you're restarting, but you are refreshing every step of the way. Any time you make a decision that kind of gets you off track, and I like to say you make decisions that are either in alignment with your goals or not in alignment with your goals, and neither of those things are bad. They're just a decision that you make. And so if you make a decision that's not in alignment with your goals, press refresh and hop right back in alignment with your goals and make a decision at the next opportunity that puts you right back in alignment with those goals. I've already mentioned this, but referring to foods as good or bad leads you to referring to yourself as good or bad. And that is just something that we're no longer doing. If you are ready to be healthy, then you are no longer going to be doing that. We are no longer referring to food as good or bad in general, but especially not referring to yourself as good or bad. It's all about language. Our language creates our reality. So if you're sitting there saying, like, you come home one day, you're talking to the person that you live with, a roommate or a husband or whoever, and you say, you know what, I was so bad today. Then what you're saying is I'm a bad person and I make bad choices, and you're already projecting through the rest of the day that it's going to be a bad day. So you're not going to make great choices at dinner. You're probably not going to move your body in the evening. You're not going to clean up after you eat. You're not going to do all of these little things that you could do to get yourself right back in alignment with your health goals. So instead of referring to yourself as good or bad, you can just say, yeah, today I made a decision that was not in alignment with my goals, but I'm going to hop right back on it right now. And we're going to make a decision that's right in alignment with my goals. And we're going to go on an after dinner walk. We're going to eat a veggie at dinner. We're going to do all these things that have been keeping me aligned with my goals. And I'm just going to hop right back in and do it. It's not like this one decision has ruined anything. That's another thing. If you feel like one decision ruins all of the work that you've been doing, I was talking about that in the episode that released right prior to this one. So if you scroll back one, if you haven't listened to that episode, the one about the all or nothing mindset, I talked about that. If you feel like a decision that you make just completely ruins everything that you've been working towards, think about this. Think about, you know, you have a whole batch of decisions, right? Like you have 10 decisions right here. There's one in there that is we'll call them bad and good. There's one decision in there that's a bad decision and 9 other good decisions. Does that one decision ruin all those other 9? No, of course not. And we can think about that. We can like apply that to, you know, something that in real life, let's say that, you know, you have a field full of sunflowers and there are 10 sunflowers in this field. One of them has started to wilt and die, but the other 9 are still alive and thriving. Does that one sunflower ruin all of the beauty of all of these other sunflowers? Of course it doesn't. So why would we think this one decision ruins all of the beauty of our other great decisions? It doesn't work that way. You can make one decision that's not in alignment with your goals, and then you can just pick right back up and you just keep on going. That is possible for you. There was a podcast interview that I did with Rachel Weiner, and she was talking about how, you know, there are no such things as good and bad foods. There are foods that are bad, and those would be foods that are like rotten and moldy, or foods that are going to make you sick. Those are bad foods, right? They've gone bad. So bad foods do exist. But if you're talking about a food that is, you know, super tasty to you, maybe it's, I don't know, like a burger and fries. Let's just say that that is one of your favorite meals. And that meal is so tasty to you, but you're sitting there telling yourself it's bad, then you're creating that inner dialogue that's just like just rubbing against each other and creating friction inside of you. And that's not going to lead to anything positive. So instead of referring to that food as bad, start referring to that food is one of your favorite foods that tastes so yummy that you get to have anytime you want to. And allow yourself the freedom to say, I get to have this food anytime I want to. And I can add to that food to make it a more healthy, well-balanced meal anytime I want to. If I want to have a burger and fries, I can go out to a restaurant. I can order a burger and I can order fries and I can order a side salad so that I have something that has color, so that I have something that has fiber, so that I have something that has healthy fats in there and that has protein in there and has carbs in there and has all these components of a healthy, well-balanced meal. It is possible for all of these foods to fit in your lifestyle. And that is something that I want you to walk away from this episode feeling like, okay, I can take my favorite meals and I can add to them so that I can begin feeling more freedom with these foods, so that I can begin feeling like they do fit, like they do have a place in my life, and I can add to them to bring in some of that nutrition alongside of my favorite foods. Just like I was talking about with my other client with the Cheez-Its. She was wanting those Cheez-Its, so she added to it so that it fit in her healthy lifestyle. A couple more signs that you may have a broken relationship with food. One, emotions lead to eating. That means that you are leaning on food to comfort you. And at the end of the day, food is a band-aid and it's just gonna cover up the problem for a little while, but it's not really gonna do anything to get to the root of why you are having that emotion. I talk a lot about this in the podcast episodes on cravings, and in those episodes, I talk about how, you know, I have my core 4 questions, those questions that I ask myself whenever I'm feeling some type of way, like I want to go reach for certain foods, then I'll ask myself, why am I reaching for these foods? You know, like what is causing this? And if it's an emotion, then I ask myself, what do I really need to do to meet the need that's at the core of this emotion? If I'm feeling like really stressed and anxious about something, maybe I need to work on a project or do something that actually begins eliminating some of that stress. Because if I just eat, then I'm not only going to, you know, still feel stressed and anxious about that situation, I'm also probably then going to feel this guilt, because that is part of having that broken relationship with food, right? So I encourage you to, if you're having an emotion, to begin asking yourself, what else could I do to really get to the root of this? If I'm feeling bored, maybe I just need to switch up my environment, go do something that can engage my brain. Eating is not going to actually keep me entertained in any way. It's just something that I'm going to mindlessly do, that I'm probably going to end up overeating or eating more than makes me feel good, because it's not really solving my boredom. It's not really getting to the root of what's wrong here. And so if an emotion is leading you to eat often, that's a sign that you have a broken relationship with food. And I encourage you to begin thinking, how else could I meet the need that is at the core of this? And the last thing that I have here is, if you have trouble stopping when you feel full or noticing that you're getting full before it's too late, then that can be a sign of having a broken relationship with food. And even more, that could be a sign of not being able to identify and listen to your intuition. During my group coaching program, Seismic Shift, one of the lessons in there, one of the week's classes, is all about listening to your intuition and allowing your intuition to guide your eating choices. We all have this inner knowing, this inner being within us that knows what is best for us and can tell us the right decisions to make. And so many times we ignore that. I'm sure that you have been faced with a decision before, whether it's around food or whether it's not, where you've heard a voice in you say, you should do this or you shouldn't do this. This is how you should react. This is the choice that you should make. This is how you need to move forward. And you've ignored that. You've reacted in a different way, or you've moved forward in a different way than what your intuition is telling you. And each time you do that, it buries that voice a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, and it makes it harder for you to listen to that voice over time. We have to dig up that intuition. If it's been a while, if it's been a long time of us ignoring that intuitive knowing of knowing when to stop eating, of feeling what it's like to feel full, of being comfortable with the sensation of leaving food on your plate, if that is something that you have struggled with and have ignored for a long time, then it takes real intention for you to take a step back and to begin picking up that shovel and digging down and allowing yourself to hear your intuition and then respond to your intuition by acting accordingly. If you hear that intuitive voice telling you it's time to stop eating, and yet you're like, it's only 4 more bites on my plate, I might as well just finish it, then you're ignoring that intuition and you're telling your intuition, you don't know what's best for me. You don't know anything. And you push your intuition off. It's like you're like taking your wrist and flicking your intuition away and saying, I don't need to listen to you. You don't know what's best for me. But of course, your intuition does know what's best for you. And so I encourage you to take a step back and to begin listening for that intuition and noticing what it tells you to do and then acting accordingly, even if it does make you uncomfortable at times. Even if you do feel like, oh, I really don't want to leave these few bites on my plate. Or even if you're sitting there thinking, I really would like to go back for seconds, but I know that my body is telling me that it's full. I know that. And maybe it's a decision with a way to respond to a situation, right? Like, and you are in a situation at work or with a partner or anything like that, and you have this voice that's telling you, this is how you need to approach the situation. This is what you need to say. This is what you need to tell this person. I encourage you to take that step. Even if it feels uncomfortable at first, because in the end, that is what's going to make you feel best. And that is going to help eliminate some of that guilt that you feel. A lot of times we have that guilt because we chose to ignore our intuitive thoughts. We chose to ignore the thought that told us we should stop eating. We should make that, we should add to that chocolate to make it a well-balanced snack. We should add to this plate to put some color in there, to put some protein in there. We should do something to make this a more well-balanced meal or make this situation more in alignment with me. We ignore that so often, and that is what leads to that feeling of guilt, because that's our intuition popping back up, like, yeah, you should have listened to me. I do know what's best for you. And she's just sitting over there, and she's like, you know, like shaking her little head, like, you should have listened to me. Then you wouldn't be feeling this way. And so she brings about a little bit of guilt to remind you, like, hey, you should be listening to me. And if we could take a step and take a second and ask yourself in these moments, what do you need right now? I'm listening to you, and I want to hear, what decisions should I make? How should I move in this situation? How should I progress forward? And then act accordingly. You're going to notice that some of that guilt begins to dissolve away as well. So I've already talked about it a little bit, but three things that you can do, and these are three takeaways. I want you to take these, I want you to turn these into action steps for you, and I want you to begin using these in your everyday life to begin healing your relationship with food. Even if everything that I've talked about so far didn't resonate with you and just a couple of things did, then I encourage you to begin doing these things, because it's going to take away whatever little pieces of broken relationship that you have with food. The first thing is releasing that food morality, releasing the labels of good and bad. The only time I want you to refer to a food as bad is if it's moldy. The other day we pulled some bread out of our pantry and we were getting ready to cook with it. I picked it up and immediately saw the mold, and I threw it on the ground, and I was like, Shane, throw that away. I can't even touch that. That food is so gross and bad. That is the only time I want you to refer to food as bad, is whenever you see mold on it or it's just completely not okay for you to eat. Otherwise, it's just food that's going to fuel you. It might fuel you for a long time if it has a lot of nutrients. It might fuel you for a little bit if it's not very nutrient dense. Either way, this food is going to fuel you, and there are ways for you to add to that food. That's the second thing, is begin focusing on inclusion. So rather than feeling like I need to no longer eat this amount of bread, I need to no longer eat pasta, I need to stay away from the cookies and the chips and all these foods that are bad for me, instead of saying I can't eat any of this stuff, think about what you can add to a plate that has those things on it. So if you, like, one of your favorite afternoon snacks is like maybe mini Hershey Kisses, right? Like if that's one of your favorite after school snacks, think about what you can add to that snack to make it more healthy and well balanced. It's a simple carbohydrate, so you want to add something that has protein and that has fiber to it. My favorite afternoon snack, especially whenever I was teaching, was a bag of popcorn. I like to do like the mini bags of Lesser Evil popcorn. A bag of popcorn with a handful of either walnuts or almonds and some chocolate chips. I typically like the Hue chocolate gems, Hue chocolate gems. I liked to put those in there, and I would just mix that up and eat it almost like a trail mix. And that really satisfied me. It kept me full because it has the fiber from the popcorn. It has fiber in the walnuts, and then it also has protein in the nuts, and there are healthy fats in the nuts, and then there's the sweetness that's coming from the chocolate. And the nice thing about Hue is it is you know, a more natural chocolate, and it's dark chocolate. And dark chocolate's actually really great for your brain and for, you know, encouraging memory and all those things. And so it has a place. It's a very great thing for you to have, especially the week before your period. There's a reason that you crave chocolate whenever you're leading into your period. It's because that is a really great thing for you to have leading into your period. It encourages the natural production and the natural release of the hormones that you're using during your luteal phase leading into the week of your period. And so allowing yourself these things and allowing yourself to have these things things and finding a way to add to them rather than feeling like you need to remove them. And the last thing that I want you to do to begin healing this relationship is remember that you are never again starting over. You are simply continuing. You are constantly refreshing. And every opportunity is a chance to make a choice that perfectly aligns with your health goals. And if you don't make that choice, that is okay. It's okay because your next choice is right around the corner. It doesn't matter what a choice in the past was. You can make a new choice immediately at the next opportunity. No choice is going to ruin anything. No choice is a bad choice. It's just a choice that's in alignment or not in alignment, and you can hop right back in alignment whenever you need to. My hope is that this episode brought you a little bit of encouragement. I hope that it has given you some action steps, some things that you can walk away and begin implementing right now, and just different ways for you to start thinking, kind of reprogramming that mind, that mindset that we've had for so long. I want you to begin focusing on reprogramming that. If you enjoy this podcast and this episode, I really would love for you to go down and for you to write a review or leave a little star rating. It would seriously mean so much to me. And I am just really thankful that all of you are here, and I will catch you again next week. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you again next week. And always remember, the more you know, the more you grow.